Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. Having the privilege to be around Sacred Fire this morning reminded me how many of our stories have been passed on to us sitting around the flames. And sometimes in our history, we need to go back further than we can even remember to the very beginning when there was not much of anything. In fact, often people talk about there being nothing and creation being formed. And I give thanks this morning for all of the ways that that story has been told. And I take you to the story of the Hebrew people who told this story in a poem, but told it to remind us that creation is good. And if you're forgetting this morning, may this call you back to it. For we've been given the gift of creation. And sometimes some gifts are so big that you can walk right through them and not even notice them. In fact, sometimes we need to be reminded by each other of what's there. And so I take you to the first day. Because on the first day, well, God gave us the gift of light and dark. God separated the light and the dark. And God said, "It is good." And that was the end of the very first day. And on the second day, God gave us the gift of the waters above and the waters below. Not the water that comes from your tap, not even the water in the rivers or the oceans. This is the water that all water comes from. And God looked at the gift of the waters, and God said, "It is good." And on the third day, well, God separated the water and dry land. God gave us the gift of the green and the growing things. God looked at that land and the green and the growing things, and God said, "It is good." And that was the end of the third day. On the fourth day, God gave us the way to tell and mark our days. The great lights to light the day, the sun, the great lights to light the night, the moon and the stars, the way for us to tell time. God looked at those great lights, the sun and the moon and the stars, and God said, "It is good." And that was the end of the fourth day. On the fifth day, God gave us the gift of all the creatures that swim in the sea and all the creatures that that fly in the sky, all of them. God looked at the gift of the creatures of the sea and sky, and God said, "It is good." And that was the end of the fifth day. On the sixth day, God gave us the creatures that walk on that dry land. The many-leggeds and the four-leggeds and the two-leggeds. And God looked at the gift of the creatures that walk on the dry land, and God said, "It is good." And that was the end of the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested. God gave us the gift of rest and space, and a day to look back at all the other days, all that had been created, and to give thanks. We mark that in different traditions and religions around the world, that practice of rest. But the invitation to gratitude becomes universal. And when God took that rest, God could say, looking at all of creation, "It is very good." And that was the end of the seventh day. I wonder what day's your favorite. I wonder what day you think might be most important. I wonder what day you would add if you were co-creating with God. I wonder if there's a day we could leave out and see what happens. And today, on this day, I ask you, what day might be just for you, for us? Thanks be to God. It is my privilege to invite Philip to come and share with us his words of a story that's bigger than all of us. I'm so grateful to have his presence with us.
Ani bonjour, Tanzi Sego. Welcome everyone. Anishnabi Ajini Kajuan, Nojmon Mashkogiash, Ingichi Mandu, and Dodum Mishu Pishu, Nin Anishnabi, Shani, Lakota, Potawatomi, Ojibwe, Algonquin, Mississauga, Minwa Mohawk. So that's my traditional greeting. Just talk about myself. My name is Nojmon Mashkogiash. And the nations that I'm affiliated with are Shawnee, Lakota, Potawatomi, Ojibwe, Algonquin, Mississauga, and Mohawk. And it's a very complicated thing when you have to mention all these names to say, oh, that's who I am. But it's an important thing to say, because when I do mention it, I'm recognizing my ancestors. And I think that's really important. You know, if you know who you are, you know who they are. And I say that to all of you. Know who your ancestors are. It's a good thing. So, you know, I came up here to talk about this mural, but I think I need to do something before I do any of that. And I need to do a short song. And the reason why I do this is because I have to recognize my ancestors. And so when I use this drum, I'm calling them. Because when they say this drum is a doorway to the underworld or the spirit world. So when you use it, they hear you and they come. And, you know, the reason why we do that, why do we need them to come along, you know? It's a good reason. It's because, you know, we don't always have the words of the things we want to say, and they can help us put the words in there the right way. So like this morning, I couldn't believe all that stuff that was coming out of my mouth as I was standing around the fire. I said, look at that, man. They just drew, and all this knowledge came out of nowhere. It was great. But this is a thank you song. Tanka shela pila maya e. Tanka shela pila maya e. Pila maya e. Pila maya e. Cha. Pila Maya. Miigwech, Pankriasin. So, you know, there's four rounds in that song, and it is for each direction, east, south, and west, and the north. And the reason why is because that is the wheel of life. You know, when you go around that wheel to the full, you know, you go through the water stage, air stage, fire stage, and that earth stage. So I'm in the fire stage. Some of you are in the earth stage. But that's a very magical time when you're in the earth stages, because it means that the spirit is really coming through you. And there's a two-way communication going on in the universe between the universe and you. When you get to 75 and up, that's when it's really happening. And I saw it happen. My brother-in-law, he passed away when he was 84 years old. So for a number of years, I watched him, and I watched this spirit come through him, and it came through him, and I could see it clear as day. So you guys, watch these older ones, okay? You might see something. Okay, so we go back 13,500 years. That's what this image is talking about. And we begin, this story is told from an oral history by the Ojibwe. They're the most ancient nation in this territory, which is now includes Anishinaabe, Algonquin, Potawatomi, Wendat, Neutral, Petun, and more recently the Mississauga and Haudenosaunee. Islington United Church is considering the commission me to tell the indigenous story of the land here in Otago, Etobicoke, through the medium and series of murals which include the flora, fauna, indigenous people. Our oral history speaks about the ice runners as being the people who once occupied this land during the ice age, known as the Okwaming and Niniwag. So that's a great terminology, because Okwaming and Niniwag means the ice runners. Science refers to these people as the Paleo Indians. They were hunters and gatherers, hunting megafauna, mammoth, woolly rhinoceros, panaceratherums, megatheriums, camels, mastodons, horses, saber-toothed cats, short-faced bears, and even more, the horse was here at that time. So, you know, they say the horse never really left, that it migrated all the way down into South America. And so the Spanish, when they first came and they went into, you know, this place called Brazil now, there was horses there. But no one ever speaks about this, that the horses were still here. They just stopped being up here in North America, but they were still here. And they were a very kind of sturdy horse, you know, that could roam the landscape, you know, because North America is a very rugged landscape, and you need to be sturdy and have stout legs for climbing and up and down these hills and mountains. So at this time, the ice age was here. Glaciers would reach a mile high, resting along Davenport Road, going along to the Humber River, and then making a narrow pathway traveling north along the edge of Etobicoke up to the 401 and westward. Etobicoke means place of the alders, an indigenous reference to the kinds of trees occupying the land today we still call Etobicoke. The alder trees is one of the first major plant species to colonize the landscape during and after the Wisconsin glacier recedes, leaving a land barren. It's at this point where the nature begins to balance itself and the alder begins spreading its seeds across the land, giving shelter to the land and flora and fauna and making this place their home. So the great thing about the alder trees is that they actually can pollinate themselves. So they have the little seeds and the pollen all on the same branches. So when the wind blows, it pollinates. And they say it's a colonizing tree. So in this tree, it spread across the land pretty quick and started giving shelter, you know. So whenever you see the trees out there, just remember they're the first shelter of all living things. Everything that can live on the land was receiving shelter from these trees, all the trees. So we should always give thanks to the trees when we see them, when we go for our daily walk, or when we go to work or whatever. Just think, give thanks to those trees. And believe me, they're listening. It sounds funny, though. It doesn't have to say that, huh? But they're listening. You know, we do all our ceremonies and all the little lodges that we do the ceremonies are made with trees because we know what they do. You know, they send a signal out into the universe. That's what the trees do every day. Some of the people that I've spoken with and I do workshops with and, you know, do the sacred fire and all that, I tell them how to use work with the tree. I said, put some tobacco in your hand, your left hand, just like you did with the sacred fire. And you go up to that tree, pick a nice one that you like. And, you know, if you need brains, you pick an old tree. If you need strength, you pick a young tree. You know, I'm serious. You know? Put your hand on that tree, the tobacco. Say your thoughts, your concerns, your wishes for the good health of family members or community members, or just for your community. And 4 days, an answer will come, because the universe is listening to these trees. That's what they do. You know, the trees are very special on the land. And so I think it's interesting that we're talking about trees today. And so this includes the indigenous people, which include the Ojibwe, Algonquin, were at one point during those early years, European settlement were mistakenly referred to as the Etobicoke. So, you know, the settlers came and said, what's this place, or who are... But the people thought they were talking about what this place was called, and we called it the place of the Alders, which is Etobicoke. So the Wendat Nutrapatoon, which is why this is important to bring forth the indigenous narrative, breaking down settler mythology regarding the indigenous people. And because, you know, right now there's a lot of things going on that are really good in this city of ours. You know, I mean, Etobicoke is included in the GTA. So this city is incredible because it's way ahead of everybody in North America. So for whatever reason, it started here, this idea of a land acknowledgement and recognizing the indigenous people and even recognizing the language. Because, you know, every time you say Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, Algonquin, Mississauga, and all you're speaking the language. Every time you say their name, you speak that language. You know, and the earth knows the language. You know, if you start speaking that language, the earth knows this language. Because the indigenous people were here a very long time, 2 to 3 ice ages. That's an incredible long time. My plan is to show some of the rich history by visually making an introduction to the community here in South Etobicoke through the sharing of our oral stories and visual stories as continuation of our ongoing occupation of this and now shared land of its original people and present multi-international population of settlers. So, miigwech, everyone. But you know, this is a big story. And I think this is the birthplace of the transformation of the colonialism that dominated the landscape for the last 500 years. And Toronto is way ahead of everybody in the country and way ahead of everybody in North America. Like the United States, they are so far behind us. You know, I probably need to go down there and talk. But here, I'm so proud that I'm here with all of these people that are open to this idea of hearing our story. So miigwech, everyone.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.